G.I. Joe Sigma 6, codename for a highly trained special mission force. Its objective, stop Cobra, stop Cobra.
Sigma 6, be a hero.
G.I.
Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best.
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We are doing G.I. Joe Sigma 6. What gives? More G.I. Joe on the G.I. Joe show? That sounds crazy. Anyway, this is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Are we doing G.I. Joe? Because I thought we were just talking about all the atrocities that were committed on the Nickelodeon shows in the 90s.
Oh, boy.
Listen, the four-part documentary is called Quiet on Set. It is a watch. It is a watch.
I was in a good mood, and then Gina was like, hey, let me tell you about this thing that you were deliberately avoiding because it sounds horrible.
I mean, you shouldn't deliberately avoid it, Chan. This is in case Egon ever comes to you and says, can I please be an actor? You need to watch this. So you say, absolutely not. We are moving to Ohio so that there is nothing you can ever act in ever.
I'm gonna slap that Shakespeare out of your hand, kid. How dare you think you're going to be... iambic pentameter, not in my house.
You know, why would he punish himself by moving to Ohio?
Listen,
I've lived in Ohio. It's terrible.
Couldn't do in Ohio. Ohio has a great amusement park.
It's got the best amusement park in the world, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Okay, so pros for Ohio and amusement park.
Yes, and it's in the very northern part of the state, so you got to kind of live up in that area. Otherwise, it's a real haul to get there.
Basically, right next to Canada? I don't know where
it's near Cleveland. It's Sandusky, Ohio. It's called Cedar Point, and I've been going there since I was a little kid. It is phenomenal.
I think it's got at one point, it had the tallest roller coaster.
That's right. It had the tallest roller coaster.
I don't know if it still does.
Yeah, it had the tallest made of all wood roller coaster. It had that going for it. And I don't know if it's still has those records, but I went there before all those good rides got put in, and it was still good. It was still very, very good.
Again, this sounds like nothing that I want to be involved with, and yet it is being foisted upon me.
What, Ohio?
Yeah,
you need to make better life decisions, Chan.
I tried to, but you people kept on texting me to start the damn Zencaster, so here I am.
I do like that. Gina got really, really big mad that I couldn't start any earlier than I did. And then as soon as we get on, she talks about Nickelodeon tragedy for like 20 minutes.
I was ready to start. You guys brought it up. And since you purposely avoid anything that you should be watching as a societal good, I had to educate you.
Well, I watched it.
I watched one episode of it.
I don't know how much of it I watched. It was one video.
And then you said 20 episodes of YouTube videos, which makes you a 7-year-old, by the way.
What are you talking about? 7-year-olds don't watch MAGA interviews from the rallies.
Yes, they do.
Do they? Oh, crap.
Seems like something they would do.
It's a lot of video game videos, a lot of board game videos, a lot of writer's tips videos, and... a lot of terrible Nickelodeon dirt videos. That's what I watched today. I'm looking at the screen. I'm looking at the shit right now. Anyway, who are you two people?
I already said my name.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think one of you was talking, but I said it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Let's face it. It was probably Chan.
Just so long as we made sure that nobody could hear it. That's the important thing.
Anyway, we're watching an episode of G.I. Joe Sigma 6. This is episode 19. It's called Trap. We are getting dangerously close to the tail end of G.I. Joe Sigma 6. Ugh. I realize that. We've only got a handful of episodes left.
And then comes the movies? What happens next?
No, the movies don't come next. Next would be G.I. Joe, I believe Resolute comes next.
We're still not up to the 2000s movies?
No, the next after this is Sigma 6 from 2005? Is that right?
Sounds about right.
Seems like that was around when the movies came out, I feel like.
G.I. Joe Sigma Six is 2005. Yep. And then G.I. Joe. Oh, I have it written down in one of these somewhere.
There's got to be an easy website that tells you this.
It's harder to find than you would think, but that's why I wrote it down in one of my notebooks here. Here we go. 2005 Sigma Six. Next up is 2010's G.I. Joe Renegades, which of people consider outside of original Sunbow to be the best G.I. Joe animated property.
All right.
We'll see about that.
It is another 2-season, 26 total episodes. Is that right? Am I in the right one? Yeah, they're 26 episodes. They're all on the official YouTube G.I. Joe channel. And after that, we have G.I. Joe Resolute, which is the one written by, I believe, what, Warren Ellis wrote it?
But what year did the movie come out?
Let's see here. G.I. Joe movie live action. G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra came out in 2009. So we could do that first if we would like to.
I mean, didn't you just say the other one doesn't come out until 2010? We got to do these in order, people.
Jesus, I really thought we were going to go through all the animated and then do the live action movies.
No, but that's, we want to just stay in chronological. You do shit in order. That makes no sense.
We don't always do shit in order on this show, Gina.
You have to do it in order because if they make a reference to it, then you won't understand.
You know, you're making good points.
What to about, be fair, Ray won't understand either way. So
that is true.
Doesn't really matter in his world.
What about 1945's The Story of G.I. Joe starring Burgess Meredith? How about that?
Well, shit. Burgess, I guess we have to start this whole thing all over again.
Got to start all over again. Go right back there. This is during
Burgess
World
Meredith
War II, American
also,
journalist.
Was also the voice of Galobulus, wasn't he?
That's right. He was. Yes. Let's see here. Starring Robert Mitchum as well. Let's see. During World War II, American journalist Ernie Pyle, Burgess Meredith, goes abroad to write about the arduous experiences of stalwart members of the U.S. Army. In Africa and Europe, Ernie Pyle, encounters brave soldiers who have put their lives in danger in order to defeat Hitler and Mussolini, including Lieutenant Bill Walker, played by Robert Mitchum, who is working hard to instill in his men with a positive outlook, and Sergeant Steve Warnicki, played by Freddie Steele, whose young child is growing up back in America.
Well, that sounds like a quiet, nuanced piece that will probably not at all be propagandist.
What, you mean a World War II movie that came out in 1945 might potentially be propaganda, Chan? It's actually got very good reviews. 7.2 on IMDb, 79% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Because the only people that are watching it are freaking veterans of World War II. And even they only gave it 72%.
They figured out how to use Rotten Tomatoes? Good for them.
I suppose. Look on the bright side.
Officially, G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra hit 33% on Rotten Tomatoes. G.I. Joe Retaliation, the sequel, hit 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. And the Snake Eyes movie, which absolutely I want to rewatch again. I saw that in theaters. It was wonderful. 35%.
Okay, then.
Saw that for my birthday.
Keep making them.
Yeah. Anyway, this is an episode called Trap. It opens up with like 2 minutes. If we've seen that Liam Neeson movie, The Gray, which I hope you haven't. But I got tricked into seeing it in theaters because it pretended to be something different than it was. Are you familiar with this movie?
It's about a wolf, right?
No, you'd think it was. It's not. It's a movie that kind of like when the ads came out, it was like Liam Neeson's in his Taken prime. You know, everybody, you know, is into this.
The Gray?
And so
it's
like
talking
Liam
about The
Neeson.
Gray?
The Gray, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Completely checked out a few minutes ago, didn't she?
Listen, you started talking about other shit, so. So
I'm sorry,
it's not
Nickelodeon. Feet fetish stuff. I'm sorry, Gina.
I started looking at pictures of cats on Twitter and I got distracted.
Oh, you're looking at Nazi cats?
There's an account that's called Cats That Heal Your Depression.
Oh man, I'm following Chonky Cats on Instagram.
Yeah.
It is a delightful account.
Chonky Cats is great.
Chonky Cats and then Soft Cat Memes. Those are the two that fill my day. But no, The Gray, real quick, because we'll get to the episode in a sec. The Gray is a Liam Neeson movie where they advertise it. Like the ads came out. It was like Liam Neeson's like plane crashes. He's trapped in the wilderness and he's being hunted by a wolf pack. And he has to like, you know, use his survival instincts because he's Liam Neeson. Right. And then he's got to try to survive, you know, this being stalked and attacked by a wolf pack in the middle of this like Alaskan wilderness. And I'm like, that sounds kind of rad, right? Like a survival. That's not what it is.
What is it?
He tricked us. It's okay. So he goes down in a plane crash using his particular set of skills. He knows how to survive it. He ends up with just a group of people that worked on this like contract job that were also on the airplane. And it's just about them going through the wilderness and then one by one, just giving into depression and letting themselves get killed or being killed as it goes. And then the wolves show up like at the end of act three and he doesn't even fight them. He preps to fight them just like the commercial show. And then they just fade to black. The movie ends before the actual showdown.
Whoa.
The old wolf bait and switch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's like he's doing this thing where he's like staring him down and he's putting like broken glass between his knuckles, getting ready to like Wolverine him. And then all of a sudden it's just like movie ends.
I hated this episode for two reasons.
I hated it as well.
One,
this episode of Knowing Yourself, the podcast.
Yeah,
I guarantee that.
There's right a now. Lot more than two reasons.
I can only think this. Of two, and you're talking to both of them.
I hated this episode for two reasons. Can you guess what they are?
Snake Eyes fighting with a wolf.
Yes, multiple. Jan knows me well.
Yeah, that would have been my... I can't think of a second one, honestly. That's the first one.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The second one's a little harder. The first one is basically like, yes, this is... He's fighting... He's like ready to fight several wolves. It's never explained why they're after him or yes. why... why this one is like super smart and shares a connection. Like, obviously this is sort of this is supposed to be the origin story of his wolf. But the second reason I hate it is because, and I have said this before, I feel like G.I. Joe Sigma Six is like every episode starts out with a decent premise that they then mm-hmm. absolutely do not deliver on. I think the show is afraid to, quote unquote, go there. Whereas, like, the original series was like, hey, there's a haunted castle. They're going to give you, like, a fucking Cthulhu down a well. And this episode is like, hey, there's a haunted castle. And it's like, no, there isn't. There is not a haunted castle. There is nothing about this is haunted.
No,
it is just fucking Destro with a machine at the end. And I wanted to see a haunted castle. I wanted this to pay off in that, like, that Snake Eyes is like, by the way, a wolf is in G.I. Joe now. And they don't deliver on shit.
I feel like they made it pretty clear that this wasn't going to be a haunted castle thing. It's like, it's heavy duty. Who, as a black man, is terrified?
Yes, yes. That was super racist. That the one black character is like ghosts,
and it's set up that it is just superstition, and there are no ghosts. And right at the beginning, you know, you see Destro there. You're like, oh, okay. Like the locals think that it's haunted because like weird, spooky sounds are coming, and that's because Destro is working on some crazy science experiment. So
yeah, like, I get it. What I'm saying is I think that in the writer's room, a writer pitched, hey, what if we did like a haunted castle episode? And which in the original series, there were ghosts. So there was precedent.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just saying, I think that they like for some reason, this kid's cartoon that has stupid shit happen every episode is afraid to do anything mildly interesting. I wanted there to actually be ghosts. I knew there were not going to be ghosts, but I wanted this episode to be like I wanted it to be a fake out where it's basically like heavy duty being like, oh crap, there's ghosts, and everyone else being like, haha. And then when they get in there, it actually is fucking haunted. But like they gave us two storylines, which is like, oh, there's a wolf stalking Snake Eyes for no reason that's ever explained. Then they fight and have a mutual respect for one another. So the wolf saves his life several times and then it howls into the night and then it goes away instead of becoming his best friend that at some point is dressed as a woman in a band. The original series slaps, and this one is a milquetoast, stinky, watered-down version of it. And nothing interesting ever happens.
I agree to a certain extent. I think that you were expecting more than they were prepared to give, and so I don't think it's fair to judge them on what you wanted to happen. I think that what they set up, they basically paid off. And is it good? No. But is it an affront? Also, I don't think so. They're doing
yes,
what
it
they
is.
Do.
They're like, it's how many episodes in are we? And we're not ever going to get anything mildly interesting. This is like if you went over to someone's house and they said, "What would you like to eat?" And you're like, "Oh shit, I'm being asked what I want to eat. I don't know, maybe a bagel with some cream cheese, maybe some spaghetti and meatballs." And they're like, "We have toast. We have dry toast, and that is all." And that is what
you
will get.
Yeah, because you're going to the house of Ted Wonder, owner and CEO of Wonder Bread. Guess what you're going to get? You're going to get dry white toast because that's all that motherfucker eats.
But then don't ask what I want to eat. Like, I feel like every episode of Sigma Six, they're like, "Hey, what do you want to see? You want to see some cool shit?" And then I'm like, I do want to see some cool shit. And they're like, "Sorry, bitch, you're not seeing anything mildly cool ever again. You're in hell."
I disagree with your premise only slightly in that I don't think Sigma Six asks you. I think they know what you want walking in the door, and they flat out will not give it to you.
Look, they're
not even polite enough to ask the question.
Why do they even have a show if you're not going to do anything interesting?
They got some cool looking robots, which I'm sorry, still look cool. I still like the robots. The stories are garbage.
I don't even know what these robots are. They're talking about them like we should know what they are. Like, they're like, "Hey, there's that robot version of so-and-so and such." And I'm like, I'm sorry, what is happening? Are there ghosts in this?
Okay.
I knew that you were going to have some trouble with this, so I actually like made a mental note to. This is a newer version of the Overlord Vector robot, which is the one that it was from the original 5-episode miniseries to start this. It's the one that chased Scott and his robot dog and captured them. I did not actually get the name of the new robot, but it's Overlord something else.
It starts with a B. Overlord BAFTA.
It's Overlord Virus. Overlord Virus.
No, it's
Overlord
not.
Virus. There you go. Yeah. It Overlord Beta Virus.
Overlord Beta
Beto O'Rourke. Beta Cuck. They're making a callback.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I vaguely hold on, got hold it. Up, I just up. Don't care enough about the show. But this thing also
hey,
looks like
it's Overlord Virus.
I just needed to be proven right.
Overlord Virus.
Overlord Miley Cyrus.
Overlord Miley Cyrus. You know,
okay, I'm hearing it now. Yeah, I see. I see where I went wrong. That's on me.
You're telling me you would rather see these things. The only thing that was cool about these is that they very clearly look like Mojo from X-Men.
You're in an X-Men 97 headspace. I understand that. Makes sense. Not everything's going to be X-Men 97, Gina.
No, that looks like Mojo's skeleton. It's got the same robot legs that he walks around on. It's got the same scorpion robot tail.
It looks like a robot spider. So any robot spider will look like Mojo Jojo.
Get a screenshot of that, and then I'm going to find one of Mojo. You get a screenshot of that.
I know what freaking Mojo looks like.
Clearly,
I was
you don't.
Reading the original Chris Claremont, Art Adams comic books.
Clearly
I know my Mojo.
Don't. Clearly, you don't.
You know what I really appreciated, Gina, first off, is in a very X-Men 97 mood. She went to the premiere and saw the cool people. She amazingly, and this really, I've been waiting for the show to bring this up because Gina sent us a picture she took of Eric and Julia Lewald, who were the showrunner, creator, writers of X-Men 97. And she's like, "Hey guys, here's a picture
the original
of me
X-Men,
with Julia Lewald.
The
Here's
original
a picture
X-Men.
Of me with Julia Lewald, who wrote X-Men 97. And I'm
no,
like,
no, the original X-Men. You keep saying X-Men 97.
I'm sorry, you're right. The original, I refer to X-Men 97 as just like the cartoon from the 90s, but you're right. That is the official title of the new one. Yes, excuse me. What I love about it is Gina sends us being like, this is Julia. She did this thing. We're like, Gina, she's been on this show before.
I knew that.
Did you? Because it seemed like you were introducing us to a new person.
No,
through the picture.
I said, look who I ran into. It was her and her husband, and we have not met her husband.
We have not.
But I literally talked to her about the podcast.
Oh, okay, great. The way you framed it in the message was like, you guys would have no idea who this is.
No, I think you just don't read what women send you, just like you don't listen to what women say.
Oh, Gina, to be fair, I also don't read what men send me. I can't read.
that tracks. Yeah,
this is regrettable, but I got this far. anyway, yeah, so this episode of Sigma 6 opens with a cold open with no dialogue. It's like 3 minutes long of Snake Eyes landing inexplicably in Romania. Maybe he is looking for Top G to arrest him. I don't know. But he lands in Romania, and then there's like 100 wolves around him because they got all the little cartoon eyes in the darkness gimmick that they do. He's like, I'm going to fight these wolves, starts to pull his sword out, puts the sword back, being like, no, I'm just going to walk away. At this point, what I only assume is Timber attacks him by himself. They ride down the side of like an avalanche, the side of a giant snowbank. Like a 10-story tall snowbank. And then they get to the bottom. They fight. Snake Eyes communicator Sigma 6 device is bitten by Timber. So it doesn't work anymore. And then this Overlord Miley Cyrus robot appears at the top of the cliff and drops an avalanche on top of them. Snake Eyes kicks the wolf out of the way and gets hit by the avalanche. And that took like... And then we cut to Destro looking from his castle, who's like... 19 miles away, but still could see all of this perfectly. And he's like, all right, cut to opening credits.
He can see it perfectly because he's looking at the video feed from Overlord Virus.
Oh, I thought he was just like looking off the balcony out the window.
Jesus Christ.
Wait, he is just looking. I'm looking at it right now. He is just looking over the balcony out the window. No video feed. He's got his arms crossed. He's looking straight ahead. This is an outrage. Anyway.
I was confused at first because Snake Eyes goes parachuting into this forest with a big-ass Sigma 6 parachute because nothing says covert operations like a big logo on your fucking parachute.
They got branded.
Then he goes, huh? Yeah, well, then it's not covert, is it? It's a merched out... military organization. He goes snowboarding on what looks like grass, and we only find out later that it's like 50 degrees below zero, so I have to assume that it's just green snow. I don't know what peed in there, but
it's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that makes total sense. So it's just beer. It's frozen beer is what you're saying.
Yep.
And then he faces off against the wolves, and I was like, oh, shit, he better befriend one of these wolves.
I mean, it seems pretty obvious that that's where we're going to go. I mean, The whole time they're fighting, I'm just like, just get to the makeout. Let's go.
It wasn't entirely clear why.
I don't understand why they were fighting. No.
No. Fighting, I get. But, like, why would the wolf help him afterwards? Because, like, he friggin' beat his ass and was like, okay, well, I'll go away. That makes sense.
Chan, I think the wolf deep down understands that Snake Eyes saved him from the avalanche. Now, how he would know that possibly as a wolf, I don't know.
No, if this was Timber, it would make sense. It would make sense. But the fact that he doesn't join G.I. Joe at the end, it pissed me off.
Criminal.
But also, when they fight, like Snake Eyes puts a sword to his neck and the wolf puts his teeth to Snake Eyes' throat. And they both sort of like mutually agree, like stalemate.
This is basically the Gurney-Paul fight from Dune 1 where they turn on their shields and then they go and, Paul puts the knife up to Gurney's neck And he's like, look down. And he's got the knife down, you know, at his nuts. And he's like, we had joined each other in death. So I like to think of this as a tribute to Frank Herbert's genius. Dune. That's one of them.
Clearly.
Across that.
It's definitely something.
Dune is.
And okay, so we're going to the mansion now. And look, what I didn't like about this, I found this episode to be pretty boring. I generally try to find the good and find the exciting, find the fun. This was such a paint-by-numbers episode of G.I. Joe Sigma 6. There's like no spin or nothing. They have a thing. They go to a thing. Thing happens. They get out of it. End of episode. Like there's
that they added to it was racism.
Yes. Yeah, that was the value add to this episode. No, what I love and to what you said, Gina, I thought would be phenomenal is if we say, oh, rumor is that this is a haunted castle. And then Heavy Duty's like all freaked out. He thinks he sees something. They establish, no, it's just Destro. It's not haunted. And then to what you said, if they would have like brought in actual ghosts for Act 3 as kind of a surprise twist ending, that would have been phenomenal. That would have been very fun. That would have been like, what if G.I. Joe gets in trouble, but because they respected the ghosts and Destro didn't, the ghosts like turned the tide on this one. Like, I don't know. It would have at least been interesting. Instead, we essentially just get something that felt like it was written by a high school student where it's just thing happens, thing happens, thing happens, we're out. And all the things happen in order with no real stakes or setback or anything. I don't know. I did not like it.
I mean, it felt like they just like the animators wanted to have a cool time doing a no dialogue Snake Eyes. Excuse me. Episode.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, the silent issue of G.I. Joe Comics is like the best one.
Right.
So, it is what it is. But one thing that really bothers me, and it bothers me and not just G.I. Joe Sigma 6, but a lot of different properties do this bit and I hate it. And that's if they're going into a place that's allegedly haunted and Heavy Duty starts saying, I'm seeing six red eyes from the darkness. He is your military companion. He is on your team. He is allegedly not a dope. He is a highly trained special mission operative and no one takes him seriously. They go, sure you did, big guy. And it turns out, yes, he absolutely did. It was the Destro robot, Overlord Miley Cyrus. And no one believes him. And I'm like, I would hate to have Scarlet and Duke as my teammates in this situation if I'm going to call out dangers I see and they tell me I'm wrong.
That's a tough one because they, they set up that he's scared of ghosts and he's seeing things. He does see things that aren't there. So like, yeah, it's dumb, but also like as children's cartoon logic goes, they have to not believe him.
Yeah, it's infuriating. Yeah. Like if it was just like a group of kids, I'd be like, sure. But these are military specialists who rely on each other in life and death scenarios.
Though to be fair, he's the sort of guy who gets scared by his bunkmate / lover, tunnel rat.
God, I was
like that there are ghosts.
The fact that he believes Tunnel Rat, who he knows is an idiot, is infuriating.
Yeah, and the fact that I thought really based on the premise and setup, we were going to have a no Tunnel Rat episode, and they bring him back in flashbacks infuriated me.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so mad.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there. Sigma 6!
Here it is, the Cobra Mamba.
Cobra Mamba, its power is frightening from out of the blue. It strikes like lightning.
The Cobra Mamba is a fast attack copter with laser guns and missiles on both sides.
There's a persuader attack.
The Mamba holds three Cobras and the sides detached to become separate attack pods.
Triple threat, mean as yet, Cobra Mamba.
Cobra! Jojo!
G.I. Joe!
Live the adventure of G.I. Joe, Cobra Mamba, and other vehicles and figures sold separately.
Jojo!
Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6.
So the G.I. Joe team, what are we even doing here? They sort of answer that question. There's an energy signature that they're tracking down?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, they're something weird and they find Destro because if you search for something weird, you're gonna find Destro.
Like, if there's something weird in your neighborhood, who are you gonna call? Heavy Duty Scarlet and Duke.
G.I. Joe is there.
Thank you. And so they're here. They're looking. They actually have a thing tracking the energy signal. So they're like moving around this gigantic haunted mansion, and eventually, like, they just kind of find it, like, accidentally. I mean,
it's in the goddamn castle. They're gonna find it eventually.
Yeah, but they like have to like blow out the floor.
They should have been led there by the ghost.
That seems like, I mean, if you start putting in the ghost, you have to take out cool ninja stuff. And by the logic of, again, cartoons at this time, and also just logic in general, you don't take out cool ninja stuff.
There were several ghost episodes of the original series, and I want to, I've been chasing that G.I. Joe high ever since.
I know. Trust me. And the worst part about it all, Gina, is when you were watching those episodes, you thought those were bullshit.
It's true. We could go back and listen.
Did not appreciate them in the moment. Little did you know.
No, we have to re-record all those so that I don't, that I don't seem like I'm mean to Buzz Dixon.
As soon as, look, as soon as we finish out every G.I. Joe property of all time, we're going to go back to the beginning and we're going to do it all again.
I would actually rewatch the original series again at the very end of this, because I do think we would have a new appreciation for it.
Oh, I would. Here's the deal. I would love to. I would love to do a redux on every episode.
I mean, I will not rewatch the like any of the other seasons.
No, I'm not rewatching Deke era.
I would totally rewatch after all of this just to. It's like when you've been eating nothing but fast food for a week and then you're like, hey, let's go to the spaghetti place.
Yeah, but the fast food spaghetti place.
Fast food spaghetti is where it's at.
Fazoli's, baby. Speaking of Ohio, am I right?
Ugh.
I don't know. Are you right?
Sadly, yes, Chan. There is a drive-through fast food Italian chain in Ohio called Fazoli's. And they have some of the best breadsticks. I'm going to say right now, better than Olive Garden breadsticks. And I know what I'm saying when I say that in this present company. But it is a drive-thru pasta, make-your-own, like, pasta, you know, style restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. Anyway.
Drive-thru, make-your-own pasta.
Well, you know, it's like how you make your own burrito at Chipotle. You just tell them and you do that with pasta. So you name the pasta, name the sauce, name the fiddlins.
And then you drive home eating spaghetti in your lap while you're driving.
Wait, do you eat those giant Chipotle burritos in the car?
Yes.
What is those? Are the messiest, most
anywhere, explosive. Anytime.
That's true. Yes. Except for spaghetti in a car in Ohio.
Look, if you're already in Ohio
with the lead pipe and Colonel Mustard.
Yeah. If you're already in Ohio and you're ordering fast food spaghetti, we can already establish a few things about your life. The shame of eating it in the car is pretty low on the totem pole at that point.
Yeah, I have a lot of issues with you people. I'm Googling what is Ohio food known for.
Normally, I would take issue with any use of the term "you people," because like, no matter what context it in, it is deeply racist. But I'm gonna allow it here because, for real, as fuck Ohio.
What I love about this is in the show notes of this episode, when I put it up, I'm gonna have the joy of saying this is the one where Ohio is in our crosshairs.
Apparently, Ohio food is all chili. It's like it's
Skyline chili.
It's all, oh, right. It's Cincinnati chili. It's Cleveland style chili, Skyline chili. That's, and also pierogies are in there for some reason, which I will take. Oh, I will take, okay. I'll take a pierogi before I'll eat chili.
I like a nice pierogi.
Pierogies are just a bit, it's just big in the Midwest, Michigan, Illinois. I mean, Chicago, you get great pierogies
anywhere
in the Midwest,
where there's Polish people.
I mean, turns out the Midwest, who knew? Wait, I'm a Polish person. What happened?
That is a good question.
Oh, man.
We are all wondering.
That's what we ask ourselves every day.
I look back at the last like 20 years and I think to myself, shit.
No joke. So, I can't remember what the event was, but something came up in my time hop of Chan like 7 years ago. And if anyone ever needs, you had no gray in your hair in this photo at all.
Oh, that's weird. Chan, what happened roughly 7 years ago that might have turned your hair gray?
Cannot imagine. Speaking of, what do you get a seven-year-old hellion for his birthday?
Oh, Hulk so fist stuff. So he can punch you.
He already has Hulk fist.
Oh, God.
And he doesn't like that the padding makes his strikes less painful Jesus to me. Christ.
Well, Chan, I got one more answer for you. Samurai sword.
Okay, I guess that's inevitable. Yeah. If I don't do it, he'll do it.
Oh my God.
And then he's going to become a sword guy.
He's going to be a sword guy, Chan. He's going to be a sword guy.
If I give him a sword now, he's going to think it's not cool. And so grow up thinking that swords are not cool.
I don't know, Chan. Around this age, my parents gave me G.I. Joe, and here we are.
A hooker? Is that on the table? Seems. What? How old are you?
I don't know where hookers are. Maybe they are on a table.
No. We already established that he was not going to go audition for a Nickelodeon kids show. Anyway, we get this. This is so much fill. I'm just realizing, I'm kind of like looking through the timeline of this episode. This is an episode called Trap. The trap doesn't actually happen until roughly the 16-minute mark of this 20-minute episode. That's the trap
is that they made you watch this.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, they do build to it. So we have a scene here that's in a hall. It's a really weird looking hall. I don't know what it's doing here, but there's a scene in this hall that has a very high ceiling. It looks like it. I know it's not metallic, but all the walls seem metallic. And there's like suits of armor stretching as far as the eye can see. And then like one of them falls on heavy duty. And it's just weird. Again, this would be a great place to have a real ghost. Or at least have something that's can. Real ghosts are doing it, but it gets explained away like, oh, I see what happened. So you're left to doubt the ghosts that come back. I don't know. This episode feels like a lot of filler. It really does.
Here's the thing. They do a flashback, and we all hate it because it involves Tunnel Rat, mm-hmm. but I do approve of them using that. That stylistic choice to, you know, get in exposition
because they're doing something. Is this what you're asking for? The bare minimum, Chan?
Yes. And I will give them that. I will give them doing the bare minimum. The way they set it up, like it made me laugh a little bit because this is how Heavy Duty describes Tunnel Rat.
It's all Tunnel Rat's fault. That nut was filling my head with all kinds of crazy messed up info.
And I'm thinking like, oh God, Tunnel Rat is 100% QAnon. That's why we're like grading on him is because we know that in 2024 or in 2022, he would have been, wait a minute, when was January 6th?
2021, Chan.
2021, yeah. He would have been there. He was the dude with the buffalo hat. And
yeah. God. But who are we to blame here? We know Tunnel Rat is an idiot.
Yeah,
or do we blame Heavy Duty for letting an idiot radicalize him?
I mean, clearly he's not the sharpest knife in the...
Shed
teenager at the lake's body.
Wasn't original Heavy Duty? Was he the one? Who was he in the original? What was his thing?
He was not in the original Heavy Duty. I don't believe came in until Deke era G.I. Joe.
Roadblock was the OG.
Roadblock was the OG.
And Roadblock was the one that rhymed.
Yeah.
Is Heavy Duty the one that cooked? Was that his thing?
Actually, no. That was Roadblock.
Roadblock rhymed and cooked.
I think Heavy Duty may also have cooked.
I'm just saying, I don't remember him being dumb enough to have the stupidest character on the show be like, hey, you know what? Ghosts. And then him be like, whoa, no. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't remember him
I would argue Roadblock was a top three smartest G.I. Joe. He was always like, you know, he's a big guy.
No, I'm saying I don't remember Heavy Duty being this dumb before.
No, well, here's the deal. Okay, so I got it in front of me now. Yeah, I was right. Heavy Duty first appeared in Deke era G.I. Joe. That's where he first appeared. He is like Roadblock's like nephew, I believe.
Yeah.
So he has a relation, right? He's the cousin. He's the cousin of Roadblock. And then he also, then they brought him back when they did Spy Troops. If you remember that wonderful CGI masterpiece, when they were starting to pull some of what they considered the best ideas for all the previous eras of G.I. Joe. And so he just sort of kept going. So he's in Sigma Six. He's going to be in Renegades next, and he will be in The Rise of Cobra.
She's a little renegade.
The Rise of Cobra.
Oh, the things she shouldn't say. I understand the Tunnel Rat Heavy Duty dynamic. It makes sense as far as, you know, a piece of the show's engine, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Have these interactions. It is supremely irritating, but from a mechanical perspective, like okay, I see what they're doing there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, look, if you're doing an anime, this is a duo you need in your anime.
Yeah.
Is this episode done yet? Have we seen a ghost yet?
We haven't hit the climax yet. We're still building.
So we cut back to Snake Eyes and Timber the Wolf, and they're like climbing the side of like this mountain to get back up to the Cobra Temple. And they're like working together, where Snake Eyes will like throw his grappling hook line, and then Timber will grab the end of it, jump to another like higher up place, and then place it so Snake Eyes can swing across chasms and stuff. And they're like looking at each other like, yeah. And it's so weird.
Like, at the very least, if you're going to like get nuts like this, like have it be that Destro like goes around shooting the wolves, and so, you know, when
Timber
fights with Snake Eyes, realizes that they're, you know, they're on the same side, they both hate the same dude, then Timber sort of has a reason to go after Destro, and they form a bond. But the way it is now, it's just like he just joins up with him after fighting with him, and
or,
like, oh, hey, you're a good fighter.
Could I offer up a plot suggestion, maybe a writing thing? What if part of this Romanian castle is Destro was working on creating super intelligent wolf hybrids?
Sure.
And they escape.
Yeah.
Listen, in the original, wasn't he just like a wolf that acted like a human sometimes? Wasn't that it? And it didn't.
I would go on.
This is their take on Timber.
Yeah. Which I'm saying fine. I wouldn't have minded if this ended with Timber, like being his BFF, I would not have minded. I would have been like, okay, great. Timber origin story. They started out as enemies. Now they're friends. Now he's in the Joes. But the fact that at the end of the episode, this wolf just goes off and we never see him again really pisses me off.
Well, we don't know that.
We don't know.
They come back, and because he doesn't just like leave and disappear, they're like back at the base, aren't they? Or at the end, aren't they back at Joe Base?
No, nothing about this show ever comes back.
No, they're not back at Joe Base. No.
It is forgotten.
They're on the USS flag or whatever.
The ship thing.
And then they look over. And the wolf is up on a cliff being like, ow.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, that he got revenge or something like that.
The revenge wolves.
So in the original, if I'm remembering this correctly, Timber first shows up with Snake Eyes in the Weather Dominator miniseries, where they're up like in the Arctic Circle or whatever. And Snake Eyes gets his ass kicked up there. And he's like near death, and that old blind man, I think, has Timber with him, and then he like gets rescued, and then he just goes off with Timber at the end. And then by the time we get to the next miniseries, The Pyramid of Darkness, we get Timber wearing outfits and costumes and dancing on stage on his two back legs,
mm-hmm.
while Snake Eyes does breakdancing the windmill.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Timber trains up real fast is what I'm trying to say.
I got no problem with that.
So G.I. Joe has now shot their way through the floor. They make it into the room where the energy source is happening. The energy source looks exactly like the companion cube from the Portal video game. And I have to mention it because if I don't, I will die.
Good for you, Ray.
Yeah. Gotta make my vid game references. This is where they go into the room with the thing, and Destro's hidden is behind a plate glass window. And he says, "You found it. Congratulations. Now I'm going to lock you in this room and turn up the heat. So that way all of your," this is actually kind of a cool trap, honestly, in that the way it's shooting off microwave energy. So all of your devices are scrambled. All of your weapons are now broken. And I'm going to heat up the room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to heat up the room so you guys all get microwave ovened to death in the room. As traps go, this is a pretty good one. Pretty good one.
I mean, I guess, but like it's the this is his super weapon, and it is basically a microwave.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. He throws a fork in a microwave and then turns it on and locks him in the room with it.
Yeah,
I mean, now that you mention it, Chan, it is less impressive. When I think about it further, oh God. Also, in a crazy moment, like this, setting off the trap causes the castle to be destroyed. While Destro's still in the castle and needs to escape. This was not well thought through.
Clear why that happened.
I'm not really sure.
To kill the ghosts?
Again, maybe the ghosts want to protect the castle since this is their family. Anyway, we do get a callback. In that Destro has a hard drive with a bunch of data that he needs on it. And as he's running out of the blowing up castle, Snake Eyes and Timber find him on the way and attack him. And in a callback to when Timber jumps up and bites Snake Eyes' armband thing, Timber jumps up and bites the hard drive, destroying it. So Destro is really going to get out of this with absolutely nothing. Down a castle.
Yeah, how many castles does he have? He's got that Cthulhu creature in another one, if we're going back to the original show.
That's in a different multiverse, though, if I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do like about this trap is that, look, we've set it up. You're in a room. You're locked in the room. It's a big metal room. Your weapons are defunct. Your communication devices are out. You're going to start heating up, and you're going to die soon from being microwaved. That's a fun scenario to put your heroes. How do they get out of it? Heavy Duty just jumps and smashes through the glass wall that Destro was talking to them through.
Yeah, didn't we all think that Snake Eyes was going to come to their rescue at the last second?
Yes, I did. Yes, I absolutely did think that. That he was going to go turn off the machine from the other, you know, he's going to get there and they have to talk him through turning off the machine. I don't know. Like, yes. But no, they just break through the glass that Destro didn't consider when making this trap. And they run into a hangar of some kind. I don't know. I really don't understand. This seems to be an old Romanian Dracula castle, except it's also like a factory, a modern warehouse factory with just giant open metal rooms, and those two things don't seem to go together. And that's where they fight Overlord Miley Cyrus in the hangar. And what really infuriates me about this episode is that we established in the previous scene, right, all of their weapons were taken out of commission, right? Their weapons are destroyed. We cut to the very next scene. Duke says, "Hey, Heavy Duty, your punching gauntlet, does that still have juice?" "Yup." "Well, why didn't you use that to get out of the room?"
"Yeah, it seems like it'd be a useful thing, yeah."
This is what really infuriated me. Don't establish that all the weapons are broken, and then the very next scene be like, "Hey, your weapon still works, right?" "Yup." Don't do that. You are killing the immersion and reality of this anime-inspired G.I. Joe show from 2005.
It came in like a wrecking ball.
To be fair, he does come in like a wrecking ball. He is about to, I mean, the G.I. Joe team is doing their best to sort of like bob and weave and hide behind stuff and like, you know, confuse it. What ends up happening? Snake Eyes appears at this point and slices the thing's like legs out from underneath it. Heavy Duty gives it one of those big old wallop punches from his powered gauntlet after it's already been knocked to the ground. And not only does like the entire castle get destroyed, like the cliff that it's on, like sinks into the ocean, and it's not even near an ocean. It is wild what ends up happening here at the end.
Hold on a sec.
I need you now, HD.
Since when have we been calling this guy HD?
He's been in my notes as HD since the beginning, but you know, that's not canon.
Is he like high def?
To be fair, they do call Tunnel Rat TR from time to time.
Do they?
I've heard them do this, yes.
I blotted that from my memory.
You know what? I wouldn't blame you. Anything Tunnel Rat related, I wish I could forget. Yeah. And then there they are. Yeah, you're right, Chan. There's Duke and Scarlet looking from the room on board their battleship. Aircraft carrier, USS flag, but not really. What's that thing called? I don't even remember. Anyway, the point is, Snake Eyes and the Wolf make psychic contact from across many miles away. And that's
They're vibing.
Mm-hmm. And then that's the end of the episode. Yeah. I don't expect a lot out of a Sigma 6 episode. So when they give me something that I enjoy, I get very excited.
I would argue that I've been able to.
Well,
who wouldn't?
This is mild mid-aughts racism. Look, we've watched more racist things on this show.
Dana Carvey apologizes to Sharon Stone for writing the sketch where she has to strip down in front of an Indian airplane. Security guy, the Indian security guy played by Dana Carvey, naturally.
Of course.
And like, oh no, you know, it's just a different time.
When I was in college, I played Ali Hackam in our production of Oklahoma. It's a wonderful part. And yes, I had to do that accent for the role.
Oh boy.
But this was the 90s. As we've established on the show before, the 90s were a wild time. And that, unfortunately, that type of racism was allowed. Now, if you do break down the character of Ali Hackam, it is one interpretation of the role is that it is a white guy who is a con man pretending to be this Indian character for other racist people who don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. That makes it better?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark?
Hmm.
I mean, it was a fun role to play back in the 90s, but I could see why you wouldn't do that in the year 2024.
Or in the 90s.
No, I think you do it in the 90s because as long as Apu was still being voiced by a white
Hank
guy.
Azaria. Yeah.
As long as we get Hank Azaria playing Apu, all bets are off when it comes to that corner. Now we are a better people now. Most of us, 70% of us, are better people now, and we realize the harm that that type of portrayal can cause, and that representation matters. But back in the 90s, this was acceptable. This was normal racism. I'm not defending it. No. I'm just saying it was of its era.
Indeed.
Gina, what are your thoughts?
I checked out 10 minutes ago.
Yep. Don't you lie to me. You checked out roughly 55 minutes ago.
I wish. Maybe I could have gotten some work done.
That's as long as the show.
Oh. you clocked out as soon as I said, hey, everybody. this is one of my least favorite episodes of Sigma 6. And I'm not like trying to dog on the show. Like, yeah, it's you know, it is what it is. It's a pretty, you know, minorly brain dead anime inspired G.I. Joe show from the mid aughts. It is what it is. I try to find the delight where possible. And this one, it was just so they didn't do anything. They didn't try to do anything. It just was. It kind of just landed like a turd balloon.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm an idea guy. So the fact that there are some ideas here that I approve of.
Yeah.
What you're saying is you're a guy who can come up with an idea and then not execute it or execute it poorly.
You know what? 10 years ago, I would have said, how dare you? That is not at all what I'm saying. 10 years later, not having done anything except this fucking podcast, I was like, you know what? Turns out I am that guy. I've got a fucking notebook full of ideas, and none of them have been executed. And I understand that about myself now. I hope to teach my child that execution is really the most important thing. And then when he starts executing, I can give him my book full of wonderful ideas.
Chan, let me just say, the jump from podcaster to audio drama person is a very short jump.
Uh-huh. Yes, it's a short jump downwards. And that's not anything.
That is at least creating something. That is what I'm saying. Like, you could find one of your ideas that would work as an audio drama and just fire off a one-off. You can at least feel good that you put something creative out into the world that is not a podcast, even if it is. Mm. And I mean, that's something. That's your artistic expression.
I like that Ray is the one you're getting advice from on this podcast with.
Look, Gina, he's not going to do what you do. If he could at least do what I do, I think he'd be that much happier.
That is fair. That's fair. This is we are the three bears of this laziness train.
That's right. Oh my God. Man, that reference was just right. Dear Lord. Anyway, G.I. Joe Sigma 6, episode 19, Trap. And at least, here's the deal. Unlike other episodes of Sigma 6, this one delivered on its title. I guess I can give it that much credit.
There was a
don't usually. We get an episode called Invasion, and there's no invasion of any kind that happens.
Mm. Yeah, I did feel trapped when I was watching it. I feel trapped right now that we're not ending this.
I was trapped by a baby doing rad skateboard tricks.
Ugh.
I really should have ended this minutes ago.
Wherever Cobra strikes, wherever they attack, G.I. Joe will fight. There's no turning back.
Yo, Joe!
Be a hero!
G.I. Joe will turn the tide!
Be a hero!
Sigma 6 is on your side!
Be a hero!
Be the best of the best!
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Sigma 6!
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.